looks the same as I step down from the train. And there to meet me is my mama and my papa. Down the road I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, and they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. Oh, it's good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. And there's that old oak tree that I used to play on. Yeah, down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherries. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, and they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. Oh, it's good to touch the green, green grass of home. Then I awake and look around me. Four gray walls surround me.
Thomas Paine podcast. Day before Thanksgiving 2020. It's November 25th for you historians out there who are charting my every move. And there are a number of people. It's the bigger the show gets, the more people, the more critics, and the more people. That's okay. We can take criticism. Just as long as it's constructive criticism, not destructive criticism. There's a lot of news and there's a lot of things to get to, but guess what? We're not going to fucking touch any of it today. Fuck it. Had enough. Somebody has to be an adult here and put an end to this bad news streak. And that somebody is going to be me. We all need somebody to lean on out there. It's a special time of year. I'm just coming off the More Pain show. And we did for our subscribers on Patreon and Subscribestar. Enough bad news. Yeah, sing it, Elvis. To lean on. It's the day before Thanksgiving. We're going to do something different. I got something. I need somebody. I think it's really good plan for you guys.
To tell my troubles to. No use denying.
Tell you, man, we're losing our identity here as a country. I think most of the people that listen to this show and that I interact with on those platforms and subscriber-only platforms have a pretty good base and basis of what the hell we're still supposed to be about as human beings and Americans. And this is the time of year you really have to take stock of what kind of year you've had and where you're going, and to give a shit about your fellow man and be thankful. We have to be thankful. It's Thanksgiving, right? No matter how bad you have it, always something to be thankful for. I had some interesting things here. You got your mashed potatoes coming, and you got your... You talk about great luxuries in life. I'll take some good mashed potatoes. That's a good luxury. And some turkey. So Thanksgiving dinner is always the meal that all the other meals are judged by. You're like, whoa. That was crazy. That was almost like Thanksgiving dinner. That's really what. Got some family members coming over, even though they don't. The tyrants and the bureaucrats, they don't want you to be with family.
I need somebody.
Even the family members you don't like necessarily. But you know what? It's like anything else in life. They're family. You don't give up on family, right?
Unhappy.
Unless it endangers your own family or there's some kind of a situation like that. If she came, just like you can't give up now during hard times. I've been there, man. I've been fucking rock bottom. And when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of all the incredible opportunities I've had in the last couple years to be back into journalism, thrust myself back into journalism, make a mark, and have folks like you out there who have supported me and supported us in our efforts and now support the podcast. It's a big deal. It really is to me. It's a big deal, and I'm thankful for that. Get to do something I wanted to do since I was a kid. What the hell else could I ask for? I got out of journalism because I had a kid, and it wasn't gotten it. And now I'm back in. So I've been blessed. Very blessed. This song's not even supposed to be playing, I don't think, but that's okay. We'll roll with it anyhow. Fuck it. It's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to get mad. We're not going to do any retakes. We're rocking and rolling. What you see is what you get here. So I want to wish everybody out there Thanksgiving. I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to talk about things to be thankful for. It's not going to be like a Dr. Phil show. A special guest is coming in here to talk about life. Give you a different perspective on Thanksgiving. Maybe make you feel a little bit more thankful for your own situation. And folks I've known for a long time. And Intel folks. We're doing something different now. It's really something else. Met so many great people working in Intel who have gone on and they've talked about the green grass of home. We opened up with Elvis. They've gone on to greener pastures and really made a hell of a mark in this world. And I'm proud to talk to them today about some of the things that they're doing. And people ask me all the time, hey, man, how can I get involved and try to help people out? Like, I'm going to give you some roadmap today. Folks who are very generous to listen to this podcast, including our supporters on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. My voice is a little raspy, a little hoarse because I just talk for 2 hours. Maybe more than that, 2.5 hours on the More Pain Show for subscribers. We appreciate our subscribers. We really do. They've helped us keep the lights on and got us through. When we started this podcast, we weren't doing so well. I was thinking about, maybe I'd go back into finance or I'll go back into Intel or do something. I don't know. It's just not cutting it. But things have turned around as we kept the faith and I've kept the faith through my battles with different government agencies. And you just got to keep punching. You got to keep swinging. Every now and then you land one of those roundhouses. One of those haymakers connect. You want to be in the arena to be able to throw those punches. Even though when things aren't going your way, maybe you got to cover up for a little while, do a little rope-a-dope, and then come off the ropes, you know? Thanksgiving is a good time for us to slow down and think about that stuff. You want to turn your life around? Think about the things that you're thankful for. That's a good way to do it. Let me see what song's coming up here. This playlist has gone off the deep end, by the way. I don't even know where the playlist is. How you like that? I figured it out. The problem is, this thing's out of control. Like I said, I got new controls this week and try to unveil some new things on here. So I have to worry about the video, too, for the people that are on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. There's a video podcast, so I have to be cognizant of that. I'm a one-man operation. There's no engineer. There's no producer. It's just the wild man and my underlings who usually prep the news for me. But today we're taking a departure after a year of slinging hash and kicking ass, snapping necks and cashing checks, I guess I say. We're going to do something different for the holiday. We need a departure, folks. Looking back on my life, I was just talking about that. Hopefully I'm not boring too many people. If you want to turn your life around, try thankfulness. Really gives you one hell of a perspective. So Thanksgiving is a good time to focus on that. But you should really be thankful every day of your life. especially now, when every day of your life might be the last best day of your life, because things seem to be going downhill fast. So today is probably better, technically, civil liberties-wise and freedom-wise. Today's probably better than tomorrow's going to be, etc. So sometimes when I get bummed out, I think all the things I have and the things I take for granted on a daily basis. It's massive, the things I take for granted. Fucking spoiled in a lot of ways. And having been to other parts of the world and to know what goes on in other parts of the world, it's still a pretty special place. Of course, we want to keep it that way. That's the struggle. When you think about the when you find some appreciation for different things that you may have overlooked, people that you may have overlooked or taken for granted, it's life changing. It really is. So I worked with this guy at Intel for a long time, Les Winna. He runs a charity now with his family. I'm going to let him tell you about it, and some of the stuff they do is absolutely incredible. And I wanted to do something. We sat down about a week and a half ago, and I said, look, told the guys here, we had a little meeting. I want to roll out to Wilmington. And maybe we can give some sandwiches out or something, or some meals to some homeless folks. I don't know what to do, because I wanted to do something. Because I always want to do something around the holiday. Usually we sponsor a couple families if we can put the scratch together. We call it Stealth Santa. And we go out and we... My wife finds these families through her work, working with kids who are really from broken homes and things like that. And then we find these families, and then we buy them some Christmas presents, all that we can afford, and then we drop it off at their at their house on Christmas Eve. We knock on the door, and we take off. And there's like a sack of toys there. The parents are like, what the? Who are those people, and what are these packages doing here? Probably from the other side of the door. It might freak them out, okay? Well, we do it anyhow. When we can afford to do it. We did do it last year. We had a decent year last year. We had to take a couple years off because I was rebuilding after my battle. Some legal woes that you're quite familiar with. Elvis Presley's the theme tonight. Have you picked that up yet? You got to go with Elvis. So this year I said, I want to do something different besides that. I want to do something for Thanksgiving. So we thought about, hey, we'll go down to Wilmington. We'll buy some meals and stuff like that. And they were like, you know what? It's COVID-19 stuff. It's kind of crazy. It's probably not the best time to do that. And maybe Joe Biden can do that since he's from Wilmington. I'm sure he's going to be out helping the homeless down there. It is a big problem down there. Okay, Wilmington is a battlefield. This guy lived, Biden lives 2 miles from complete chaos and squalor in a big mansion. It's unbelievable how fast the neighborhoods change in Wilmington. It goes from like chaos to just complete luxury. Big time luxury. So I said, you know what, why don't we get behind Les's group? So I took a portion of what we make from Patreon and subscribe star. Patreon.com/TruePundit, subscribestar.com/TruePundit from our patrons, and I put together some scratch. I think we put together like $2,500 to give to these guys so they could help families out during Christmas. And that's a big deal for us, $2,500. I mean, but you know what? It seemed like a good amount. And then I started thinking. I was talking to him, and he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to steal his thunder and their thunder, because he and his daughter Danine I've known for a long time, since she was a little kid. Now she's an adult, and they're doing great things. I mean, he has to be proud. I mean, I'm proud to know him. Both of them, but Les and I have chewed a lot of dirt together. He's an old school guy, you know, a lot of dirt together, both in private sector, both in banking, at Citi, and we've been together a long time, off and on, right? So I said, why don't we, these guys are running this, why don't I hook up with these guys? And then we'll do a show. We'll tell people what you're up to, what you're doing, so we can get the word out. Because that's the biggest thing when you're a small charity, right? It seems like the right thing to do. So that's what we're going to do. And you don't need any more speeches by me, you know, about the subject. Every time. Gets me every time. How dare you? How dare you attack the host of the show? I want to wish everybody happy Thanksgiving, and I want to thank everybody for helping us out on our platforms and keeping the lights on, allowing us to do what we love and what I think we're very good at. And I'm looking forward to keeping it going during 2021 and through December as well. What's that song? Let me pull it up real quick. Little Merle Haggard. I didn't have it prepped, but I'll play it.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know. It's the coldest time of winter.
Well, there's some people that need our help to make it through December, okay? And I know that money we put up is going to go to good use. And I hope it makes you folks proud out there, the folks who support us. And I want to introduce Les Wynn and his daughter, Danine, who run 4 Heroes Charity. The number 4 Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, 4 Heroes Charity. And they're gonna do their damnedest to make sure that a number of people who need help, and the number's growing, man. It's skyrocketing, as you can understand, with what's going on in our country. They're gonna make damn sure that they can help as many people make it through December as they can. They do a lot of other things, and I know that they'll put the money to good use. And it's not a small feat for us to come up with any scratch, but fuck it. We've had a good year. And so we're going to try to pay it forward as best as we can. And you'll get my perspective during the podcast, too, about paying it forward. And how we started this podcast was through people stepping up and giving money, right? So what are you going to do? It's like you got to keep it going. And I want to work with these guys in the future, too, as well. And I wanted to do a podcast and something special, so let's rock and roll and get to that right now. If we make it through December. You with me?
Yep, I'm with you.
All right.
Hi, Mr. Moore.
What's up, Danine? How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
How's your son doing?
He's awesome.
Yeah, good. He looks like a little fire plug.
Oh, yes. You pegged him absolutely correct.
Well, that's good, right? He's like his grandfather. He's a troublemaker.
And that's all that matters. He's exploring everything.
All right. So, listen, I wanted to get involved in something. We were thinking about, I was like, you know what? We should go down and we should give some money to the homeless folks in Wilmington and all this stuff. So we sat around and we talked about it. And then we thought, well, maybe with COVID-19 and it's probably not a good idea to go be messing around in the street because you don't know what the hell is going to happen. So I thought about you guys and the work you're doing And I wanted to put some money up toward that because we've had a good year with we have subscribers on Patreon and Subscribestar that pay us every month to listen to me. Can you believe it? They actually pay to listen to me. It's the craziest thing. But what are you going to say? Go ahead. Get it out of the way. Go ahead.
No, I said that is crazy. People pay to listen to you.
Well,
how
I mean,
do you have?
What'd you say to me?
How many subscribers?
I think we have like 1,100. Mm-hmm. It's growing very fast. It's been a great year. But I wanted to do something charity wise, I'll talk about Les before we go and we start playing this about my history with your father. We'll keep it G-rated or maybe a little PG. I don't know what we'll do. But we've chewed a lot of dirt together. What do you say, Les?
Absolutely, brother.
And now you guys are doing great work down there. You just said, tell me about what happened on, let's start out. Tell me about your organization and the kind of charity you folks are spreading around. It's multifaceted and it's fascinating. So I'll let you tell folks what's going on.
What we do, Deneen came up with the concept of the number four heroes charity. And the number four stands for police, fire, military, and all first responders and their families when in need. So we decided, we started out, there's a big request for canine units and police departments, and most of them aren't funded by the municipality or the city. They're donated or they have to raise funds, and everybody's trying to raise fundraisers. And to be honest with you, one department's tripping over another because they're soliciting the same people to attend these fundraisers. So it's kind of hectic for these dogs. As you well know, Mike, these dogs range from 11,000 to 13,000. You may get one at 10, but we only pick out the top of the line, and 99% of them that we buy are Belgian Malinois, and they're imported. We deal with an importer who supplies the federal government, the DEA, the FBI, customs, whatever, with their dogs. So we pick out the best dogs and, donate them to a police department. From there, we started out, we were requested to help a fireman's child who was 6 years old and had cystic fibrosis. So Deneen's husband put on a golf tournament, and we helped pay off some of their medical bills because the fireman was out of work. From there, we were requested to help a Vietnam veteran who lost his hearing and he couldn't hear. So, ironic, if you got a second and you indulge me, VA in Philadelphia said, well, if you want to make an appointment, you have to do it by phone. Obviously, the guy is deaf.
How's he going to do that?
Well, they insisted. He said, well, can I email you? They said, no, we only take appointments by phone.
Unbelievable.
So, a doctor reached out to the four heroes to see what we can do. So what we did, and the guy has Agent Orange from Vietnam. So what we did was we got him a set of hearing aids. He became a recluse. He wouldn't go out of the house and he couldn't function in society. Yeah. And he was taking care of his 90-year-old mom. So what we did was we bought him his hearing aids. And then we sent a speech therapist to go and teach him how to read lips. And then we bought the iPad and the program. So when he calls the VA to make an appointment, he can read what they're saying and answer. That was difficult to raise the funding for that. From there, we bought a child hearing aid that from a police officer in Gloucester City. The grandfather, I'm sorry, was a police officer. The child lived in Gloucester City, and the school could not transmit on the frequency that his hearing aids were, so we bought him hearing aids. And from there, it's just more dogs and and donating Christmas to veterans' kids that don't have presents to Saturday. We just fed turkey dinners, full turkey dinners to the disadvantaged and the elderly. This is our third annual year doing that. Because of COVID, we're kind of shut down. We hold our fundraisers. We do a Christmas in July for CHOP Pediatrics in Voorhees. And if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, nothing will. All grown men and police officers, when we did it, not last year, the year before, not last July, the July before, including myself, all said, oh, yeah, it's the sweat. It actually was the tears because the kids were at the windows waving and had signs and banners for us. And it was, we brought sand. It was something to be seen. So that's what we do. Nobody.
You guys show up on Harleys, though, right? This isn't like you're pulling up in a Prius. You guys are barreling.
No.
Yeah.
Our sister organization is the Rolling Badges Law Enforcement organization. So it's a joint effort between the members of the Rolling Badges and the Four Heroes, and we're synonymous. One feeds off the other. We hold a fundraiser. Right. The members of the Rolling Badges, we'll go out and contribute and work and so forth and so on. No one, not a dime. In fact, a lot of the money that we do comes out of our pockets. No one derives a salary. 100% of the proceeds go towards the cause that we're working on at that time, be it a dog, be it hearing aids, being it to fix up a veteran's home that may need repair that they're not able to do.
But yes, the Harleys did escort Santa in to multiple homes for these children. So Santa was on a sleigh with the presents, and the Harleys were the reindeer, so to speak. It's a beautiful thing every season to be able to do for the kids.
Now, I've seen you guys. That's like one of your toy runs, though. You guys are loaded up with a bunch of toys, right?
They do that in the summertime.
Yeah, right, in July, right.
But every December, there's a family that they sponsor from one of the four groups. Usually someone in need, and the members of the Rolling Badges, coupled with the Four Heroes team, we have a person that contributes time every year. He professionally plays Santa all month of December, and he dresses up and rides in a sleigh that someone else has donated that they built, and it's, connected, and the motorcycles escort the Santa and his sleigh with the presents to the kids' home. They've done it as a last wish for kids that were no longer going to be here for Christmas, and provided them an early Christmas and presents and last wishes. So there's been a lot of those events where the motorcycles were escorted or requested for kids' last wishes, kind of like make a wish requests.
That's pretty special. I mean, it's brutal. It has to be brutal. My wife works with all these disabled kids, and I hear the stories every day. And I don't know how the parents keep it together. I really don't. So in that type of an instance, to be able to do something like that is special. It's really special.
Yeah, special isn't the word. It's absolutely heartbreaking as a new parent. I can't even imagine being in that situation. We follow, it's not a one and done. We do follow these parents to see how the kids are doing. And, we've done a charity event for he's not little anymore. He's a teenager. We follow to see how they're doing. A lot of these kids with cancer when they're young and, we want to know, we don't just lose track. We have recently, helped a little boy that had neuroblastoma, and, we continue to see how they're doing and well wishes and, connecting their community and getting the outreach and things like that. We try to serve them, but it's not a one and done kind of thing. We really, truly, deeply care about these people and, how they're doing. And like Les said about the annual dinner, these older adults, there's a lot of centenarians that are now popping up, or people that are close to becoming centenarians, and it's just so amazing, and hearing their stories, and then what impact just a simple dinner has had on their lives for the past 3 years is incredible. They run the gamut from, little to old.
Well, I mean, It's incredible. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is just get your perspective. And talking to Les the last couple of days, he said that the numbers were down with the dinner you just had for the families in need because people were kind of freaked out by COVID. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, rightfully so. You know, COVID has invoked a lot of fear in all of us in the last, yeah, you know, 8 months. A lot of our population, being the geriatric elderly, rightfully so, are concerned with it, you know, coming up on flu season and things like that. Right. We only have about a third of the dinners that we normally serve, and a lot of our disadvantaged individuals that really count on us. We have the woman who comes up here because she's a divorcee. She's, you know, can't afford to do much, and it's just her and her daughter. And, you know, she has a job, she's working, but, you know, a lot of times they're just making ends meet. You know, we've seen a lot more of that. And this year we didn't have those people reach out. But, you know, we changed our delivery method and delivered it to them to maintain the social distances and, you know, not have interaction like that. We kind of just dropped off and went.
So you guys are doing like a Meals on Wheels type thing. You change gears. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, trying to bring, you know, the feelings of safety. Everyone, you know, participated in the COVID protocols and kept everything clean and sanitized and, you know, tried to make everyone feel comfortable. But we were sad to lose out on the other two thirds of the individuals that we normally have.
Well, while we're talking about this, what's the feeling? I mean, you guys are at the ground zero, people that need stuff. Are you seeing more of requests and like, what's the feeling on the street? Because I think I know the answer, but I want to get it from somebody who actually has a pulse on this on a daily basis.
If I'm being honest, the requests are climbing because veterans are out of work. Veterans have issues. The donations from the business community and individuals have dried up. There's certain portions. And a big thing is to get the word out, to get somebody to give you the time to say, this is what we do and this is where it goes. You know, we have some staunch supporters like Holman Lincoln Mercury, Ron Jaworski, the former quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a supporter. Cornell Steele is large in Woodbury, New Jersey. But we need more. We need a lot more. You know, if I had to use the request we have now, I probably have $1.8 million worth of money I would have to raise to fill all the requests. And as soon as we fill the requests, and we get them from all over the country, it's not just our local area, and the needs come in, or another need will come in, and we have to divert money, you know, to fill an emergency need. Like the other day, I just gave patches. Someone reached out to me to a little girl who's has brain cancer. She's 6 years old and absolutely loves police and fire. And her prognosis isn't looking too well. So they wanted our patches. So as soon as I got the request, I got an envelope and I mailed it out. Hopefully she has it by now, but it takes a lot of money. And, you know, all nonprofits are, you know, struggling in these days. Again, being a 501c3, we try to assure these people we'll give you a write-off and, you know, we list them as sponsors. So every dime we get is extremely important.
Well, you don't have to list the Thomas Paine podcast as a sponsor. Some zealots will probably contact you and try to hassle you or something. some of these people are like politically jaded. They're out for blood. They can't even take off that filter when it comes to charity and things like that. So you can do what you want. We don't need to be on your website and things like that. It's your call. But
credit is due.
What did you say, Denny?
We give credit where credit is due.
Okay, well, I can live with that, too. I mean, I've known you since you were in grade school, so I'm not going to give you any. I've already given you enough hard times in your life. I'll leave you alone.
I believe you're doing the right thing, as does everyone else affiliated, and we do what is right, and everyone gets acknowledged.
Well, you know, I also, you guys haven't mentioned it because there's so many different things you do, right? You go from police dogs, and I've seen these dogs. They're like the real deal. And I think in the future, I'd like hopefully be in a better position where we can just, if we continue to build this platform, we can just buy a dog and then follow it through from the time it arrives with its handler and they bond and things like that. And then they go to the police academy, and that would be kind of cool. So that's on my radar. I'd like to do that too, because I think one of the things people,
you know, we can get, you know, periodic updates about the career accomplishments of the dog. We've done that in the past.
Yeah.
Well, it's really wonderful to see what impact they've had on their community.
And part of that is, I don't think a lot of people understand.
No,
when
you're right.
When a kid goes missing, a dog goes into action. Can you explain that? Because I don't think a lot of people understand that.
I'm going to defer you to the expert over here.
Okay. Les, how long have you been working with canines?
Since 1976.
Yeah, it's back when you had hair. That's all you had to say. We understand. It's all of it.
That's been many years ago, buddy. So what had happened, and I did several interviews, but I had a reporter come up to me one time, and he talked about the cost of a canine dog, and he said, well, isn't the money better spent in paying for overtime on a police officer or whatever? And I said, well, you know, nobody wants a police officer or a fireman to die in the line of duty searching for an explosive device. And I'm certainly going to cry hard if my dog dies, but I'd rather have a dog search that building and save the human. And he goes, I never thought about that. And I've done a commercial. It's on our website at the bottom. If you, you listen, and it'll tell you there's over 300,000 kids that go missing, a year. And my staunch report is, don't send me 50 police officers in the fire department. Send me a good dog. And that dog will track, a good dog will track till it collapses. So it has no, they just don't quit. There's so many stories of dogs rescuing little kids that go out in the middle of the night. Their parents didn't realize it, and nobody could find them, and the dog tracked right to them. There was one where a child was under a trash can because they were cold. If a human individual walked past that trash can and didn't take the time to lift it up or search under it, that dog tracked right to it. So the time-saving effort, because that dog can track 10 times faster than 50 police officers or firemen can. So yeah, they're worth their weight in gold, and you're absolutely 100% right. Most people don't understand the value of the dog. There's two different types of dogs. There's a dog that's dual purpose, which means it does patrol work and it does narcotic or bombs. And then there's a single purpose dog that just does narcotics or explosives, whatever. Some departments, like your bigger sheriff's departments, they have two types of dogs or whatever. But everybody's connotation of a dog is all they do is bite. And that's not true. There's so much more valuable. The community itself, the support it when they go to schools and the children understand. They do demos and the children understand that the dog does so much more. And you'll hear kids go, well, geez, if I ever got lost, Rover can come find me. Yes, Rover can come find you. So, you know, from the innocent child to an elderly person with dementia to the criminal that escapes a crime scene, and you track them for 5 or 6 miles. And that's not an exaggeration. That dog will keep going and going and going. So there's a lot of valuable assets to them. Every agency uses dogs, federal agencies, what have you, and it's an expense. But they use them for, whether it's crowd control, they use it for narcotics detection at the airport, explosives. They're just extremely, extremely valuable.
Now, you got involved with canines when you were on the job in Camden. Can you go into that a little bit, just a little bit of your background?
So I'm a retired Camden City police officer, and I did a stint working narcotics for the county prosecutor's office. And I was fortunate enough to have a choice of assignment, and I chose to go to canine. I wanted to be a canine handler. At that time, you know, we worked 7 at night to 3 in the morning, and canine only handled gun calls, fights, and whatever. You didn't, that a dispatch ever went to a canine unit that for somebody's battery stolen and whatever. So it was all the high crimes, and in Camden, you kept quite busy, to be honest with you. And that's how I got involved with canine.
Tell them more. What happened? When you ran out of money?
Well, the city, and this is where my passion comes, the city ran out of funding, and they've done this several times. They first thing they do is they disband the canine unit. So they disbanded the canine unit, you know, and I brought my dog home, so forth and so on. And then we fast forward, and my passion was to never have to see a police department disband a canine unit because of funding. So that's one of the reasons when Deneen came up with the Four Heroes and we started out, that was one of the big passions. You know, we bought West Deptford, I think we bought West Deptford, New Jersey, 3 of their dogs. I just gave the Atlantic County Canine Academy, the director, Joe Nick, I just gave him a bomb dog. So there's always needs. There's always needs, but I never want to see a police department go without a dog that they're going to be able to utilize and work.
But we've not just been involved in, you know, providing of the canines, but also helping those departments fundraise as well. So we've been integrated into the fabric of what these departments do in order to support these animals and their needs. Between medical insurance, we have, you know, a private donor every year that provides the funds to purchase dog insurance for the canines of the town. You know, and like I said, you know, we've been weaved into different aspects of it. So we've been able to help them. And it's an integral component, fundraising that is, an integral component to kind of keeping it just past what, you know, we've been able to provide as the dog. And it's been largely successful with various different departments and their needs in the town.
Well, another thing I've if you don't understand my interview style, I just shut up and let people talk. That's like, you learn that. Les knows that from law enforcement. You just sit there and kind of nod. If you can see me, I'm nodding and I'm letting you tell your story, because what the hell do I know? So if anytime you want me to jump in or say something, just let me know. But I usually just let people talk. But one of the things I also noticed was, it kind of struck me, kind of got me right in the gut. There was this guy that was all banged up, and you guys bought him a motorized wheelchair. And I know from my wife's work that motorized wheelchairs are no joke. I mean, it's like, it's he would knock people out. Can you talk more about that?
Sure.
I hate to bash on the government, but once again,
you've come to the right show.
our government and the VA struck again. So we were called about a Navy CB who was paralyzed on his left side. He couldn't use his arm. He couldn't use his left leg. So he had a wheelchair. He had to live in an assisted living home because he wasn't able to really take care of himself. And he tried to go to the government and the VA to ask for an electric wheelchair. And they said, no, we'll buy you a wheelchair. And you can use that. Well, not to make light of the situation, but he only had his right arm, so he would do right arm donuts. The chair was useless to him. He could only push with his right arm, and he just would have went around in circles.
Wait a second. So there was a wheelchair that had controls, like joystick controls on both sides, right?
They wouldn't provide that form of a wheelchair, so they would only give him a basic form.
Yikes.
Like the one that use both hands to push.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, you know, with the loss of function on the left side, the right hand.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Okay. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
No, you're fine. So they reached out to us And it was sad. It was really sad to think of the government just saying, yeah, well, we understand you can't use your left side, but you can just go around circles. So we reached out, raised the money, and we bought him an electric wheelchair. I think there's pictures on our website of us giving it to him, and there's a short little video clip with the smile on his face and how happy and life-changing it was.
It is life-changing. I mean, you're not mobile, and then suddenly you become mobile. You can get around places on your own. It's like a new, like a breath of independence that you, yeah. And then also, a lot of people don't understand, when you're laid up like that and banged up like that, the psychological toll and the emotional toll it takes on you, because you can't move around, or because you have to call somebody every time you want to go somewhere or get around the house and stuff. I think a lot of people miss out on that, or they don't understand that. So I think just for the individual's overall well-being psychologically, it's a massive thing.
Absolutely. It gave him a new lease on life. He could do his daily routine, his daily activities more independently than what he was previously. I mean, think about it, just getting to and from the bathroom every day, you know, basic needs.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's got to give you a good feeling, good warm feeling, you know, when you help somebody out. Like, I saw the video, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. This, I mean, in the sense that the guy was like, I'll figure out a way to play the video on the platforms that we have, subscriber-only platforms, but it's like the guy was so happy.
Was so happy. It was wonderful. It's such a warm feeling, and it's such a positive feeling. What hurts is when we have to say no, to be honest with you, because we may have a lack of funding or the inability to meet the needs that they have. And, you know, we don't go into something and then not deliver on those promises.
Right.
I'd rather tell someone that we couldn't do something than have to deliver on a promise that they need, because these are not things that people are asking. You know, they're critical to them. You know, what's going on in their lives, what's going on in the community, things like that. They're coming to us out of a dire need because they've been unable to do it on their own. And with, you know, they've sought many resources to do so. And, you know, in the past 2 years, we've been so fortunate to be able to meet a lot of people's needs and a lot of the township's needs, community's needs, and, you know, bring it back and show people in the community where these efforts have brought, you know, our efforts have brought a great impact into the community or even on individuals. And it's just fostered more and more support for the Four Heroes and our outreach. So our arms are growing, our branches and our leaves are, you know, growing, but COVID really has taken that toll on us. And like Les said, with everything being shut down, we've kind of halted and funding is really, really dry. We're kind of hitting a barren well, so to speak. And this is when needs are even greater. You know, individual needs are so much so right now with people being down on their luck and, you know, towns and things like that. So we're trying everything that we can on our end, you know, to still garner support for those that are fortunate enough to be in a situation to help out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a double whammy. You got everybody's going to need more, and then you're getting less. So it's not really that much different from most of our families out there. We're finding out that we have to do more with less. And it's something else. It really is something else. It's a challenge. And I'd like to, some folks out there I know that have companies and have some resources and are actually doing well in this economy, believe it or not. Those are the folks that have to step up now. And when they're looking to help other people out, I mean, look, you can give money to any charity you want, right? But when you see that, oh, 85% of the money you're giving goes to some salaries and administrative costs, that's kind of a head scratcher to me. It's like, wait a second. You tell me 15 cents of what I just gave on every dollar is going to people who need it? Well, that doesn't seem very good.
And these are big name companies. So that was one of the things that, you know, when we started this idea that we pay for things that are overhead, out of pocket. We volunteer time out of pocket. The money that comes in is directly donated back out to those that need. I don't believe in that philosophy. It breaks my heart when unfortunate, you know, businesses like those founded on giving back are more philanthropic for their CEOs than actually the people that they're meant to serve. As a nurse, it seems wrong, and I wouldn't do something like that. You know, we're meant to help people. And, you know, there's, it brings me back. Yeah, recently, my husband and I bought a new smoker grill, and we joined one of the forums on Facebook to get some recipes and things like that. And I happened to go on the other morning, you know, with Turkey Day coming up, and I was like, what are we going to do? Maybe we'll smoke a turkey. Let's figure out, you know, some of these gurus, what the best plan of action is. Well, on there, this woman had posted, she said, I'm a newbie. She's like, my husband is a veteran. He really loves the smoking, you know, it gives him relaxation. It kind of gives him peace. However, he has a stick and what do they call it? A stick burner. So there's a lot of fire. There's a lot of choking. There's a lot of maintenance, things like that. Unfortunately, his PTSD was so severe that the stick burner, and I guess the fire, was bringing back a lot of memories and flashback, and it was triggering right. his PTSD. So he had to stop using the, he had to stop doing what he loved. So she was on there to reach out to say, you know, I really like this company. I really want to buy my husband a smoker. What is the best one? He's a veteran. You know, I want to do right by him because, you know, his whole way of life has changed. And I think that, you know, being able to do something like this again would really impact his daily life for the more positive. These people gathered together and said, we want to buy him one. And I want to, and ask for minimal dollars, minimal change, $5, $10. So we chipped in to help out and, you know, provided means, but that's exactly the embodiment of what Four Heroes is about. It's people like that. But it was so nice to see the community come together. And it was nice that we were able to help out as well. Give back to, you know, a veteran because that's what we're based on. But, you know, these people as a community came together and said, we want to help our fellow veterans. And that's exactly what it is. We take donations and we direct them. People have given us money, as I mentioned, about people, you know, a private donor for the dog's medical insurance. This particular individual names the town and supports all four dogs' medical insurance every year. So they're able to direct their donations to things that they want to see while also garnering, you know, the tax deduction if it's, you know, helpful to them. But, you know, we've served in a way that, you know, I don't think a lot of these other conglomerates do, you know. I mean, $1.5 million salaries could go feed a whole lot of people that really, really need it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I'll tell you what, people, I'm still convinced, even though we're going through a rough patch and we're at a crossroads in our country, people are, their hearts are still big. They have good people in this country, and they're very, very generous. I see it every month. We see it every month here. And a year ago, not even a year ago, we're not even a year old, I posted something like the middle of December, and I said on social media, on our social media, and I said, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I don't know. Money's tight right now. We need like $1,300 to get it off the ground, so I'll go to this GoFundMe thing, and we did a GoFundMe. In 2 days, actually in less than 2 days, I shut it down. 2 or 3 days in, I think, where we stopped promoting it. You know, I think I woke up. It was like $600. I'm like, all right, we're doing pretty good. You know, I went to bed. I woke up. It was like $4,000. I said, well, that's probably too much. I need to shut it down. But the thing is that regardless of what's happening now, people are still very generous. And, you know, to be able to kick something back to you guys now coming up on a year to kind of try to pay it forward in a small way. I'd like to do more as we grow. I mean, I'll try to do more, right? Everybody's having tough times. But if I know that it's going to something good and not going to somebody sitting in some ivory tower, you know, eating expensive lunches, it makes me feel better. So that's why I wanted to give to you guys. And I know your old man, he's got a big heart, so I'm not surprised. And I know you and your sister, you're both out helping people in the medical field because you guys have the big hearts too, so it's not surprised. And folks out there, if you listen, I mean, this is like the real deal. This money comes in and it goes to the places that need it. It's not some kind of I don't want to slam any other charities because they are doing charitable work, but some are highly questionable, very, very highly questionable. But we'll steer clear of that for now. So I don't want to soil the episode with my rantings. But yeah, I think that people are, even in times when it's tough, people are still digging deep and giving what they can. And you know what's funny? Many times it's the folks that really can't even afford to give that have the biggest hearts. It's I don't know if you've come across that, but it's really something to watch. I've noticed that.
We have a donor that gives every year from, I think it's upwards of $3,000 every year that she donates because her husband loved canines. It's another one that, you know, he passed away, and she, in a way to honor him, she doesn't keep the money. She donates $3,000 every year in his name and in his honor to us to be able to support these canines in the community. And, you know, she doesn't do a direct donation all the time, sometimes that she does. And, you know, we direct it to the towns and the communities that are most in need at that time with what they've got going on, whether they're growing their program or, you know, just trying to get by. But it's, and I'm not saying that she can't afford it, but it's something like that. You're taking, you know, really what amounts to insurance money in the honor of her husband, and, you know, taking it and giving it to those to help her community. It's just amazing.
You talk about people that give that don't have, and it brought light to Saturday as I was delivering some meals. I delivered to a home where the lady was 94 years old, and she gave me $3. And I said, "Oh no, ma'am, I don't want that. It's okay. It's free and whatever." I thought that she was like trying to give me a tip or something, like a delivery guy from Pizza Hut or whatever.
Yeah.
She said, you do wonderful things, and I want to give a donation to help somebody else. That $3 to her may have been the difference between a meal or not a meal. But it made her feel better to give that $3. And that's touching.
Well, that's beyond touching. I mean, that's, like I said, that's somebody who probably couldn't afford to give it. If you're giving $3, you're like, well, you know, this is what I can afford to give. Now, some people may scoff at that, but it's the same people who have given nothing.
Like her husband's probably, or, you know, partner's probably long gone, and, you know, they're living off of Social Security, and that Social Security may be less than $700 a month. It's literally the decision between meals and medicine, electric and heat and gas. Like, I mean, these are big things in older adults' lives. So that was huge for her, I'm sure.
Les.
Yes, sir.
You got to be proud of your kids. Come on. It's crazy.
I'm very proud. As you stated,
Alyssa, I mean, before you go into the start tugging the heartstrings, a grunt like you, an intel grunt, a guy who has really had to get his hands dirty from time to time for this country and for this country's concerns and things like that, and what you've been through, you have to be proud. I mean, that's just my perspective.
No, I appreciate it, and I thank you for that. I'm very proud. My youngest one is a doctor, and Deneen is finishing up her doctorate of nurse practitioner. It's not about their degree. It's about the field they choose to give back and help others. So their hearts are still big, and they still want to do, and I'm extremely proud of them.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a big thing for you because I've told you for years you have a face for radio. And no, but I mean, I have to tell you, I'm proud to know you, man, because, you know, back when we were slinging hash, doing intel and things like that, and running around, and even, I can't even say some of the stories, they're crazy. Some of the stuff we were involved in was absolutely insane. Like when I was in AOL and the things we used to do for the AOL executives, people, they wouldn't even believe it. These guys were crazy. They had so much money, they were crazy. But
yeah, we did big things together, buddy.
Man, it's really something else. And to see how things have changed and what you're doing now is just, it's something special. And I had you on my radar, but I needed to kind of rebuild here a little bit to get uh, to be to be able to do something to kick into you guys. But I'm proud to do it, and I hope it represents the folks that give us money and are generous in that regard, that we can kick it forward to you guys and you guys can do some good stuff with it, which I'm sure you will, because based on your history, it's not just the canines. It's crazy. You guys, anybody who comes along and says, "Hey, I'm hurting," you guys seem to step up. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's just, if you add the credibility and what we do, there's a guy in Westville, New Jersey that started Barney's Pantry. And he's going to be on the Mike Rowe Show November 24th. And as far as I know, it gets broadcast. Oh, it's going to be today. So it's on AOL. They reached out and they wanted the Rolling Badges portion of it to escort it and lead it in, because people recognize what we do for others. Mike Rowe was there, but because of COVID, you know, we had the distance and whatever. But, you know, the town renamed one of the streets. It's called Four Heroes Way. And the pole is labeled in all the colors of all first responders, police, fire, military, corrections, dispatchers, and so forth. So that's where our heart and soul is. And like Deneen said, it hurts when you see someone has a tremendous need where we could do a lot of good, and yet we don't have the funding and we have to say no. That's the hardest part, and that causes a lot of angst and loss of sleep, and to be honest, because we're small enough to still care and give because we care, but yet we're not big enough to do for others. It would be tremendous if we could get on like a Fox News and Sean Hannity promote, and we get, but that just doesn't happen. But we try, and you've been a great supporter, Mike, and we do truly appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too. And we just keep, you just keep plugging away like everything else in life, right? We just have to keep fighting. Now, if folks want to step up and they want to check out your website, where do they go? What's the best way to get to you to see if they want to chip in and pitch in for your efforts like we have here at the Thomas Paine Podcast? Where do they go? What do they do?
Well, they can go on the website. It's Four Heroes, the number four. And I'm going to say it's ATROES, because unfortunately a lot of people do misspell that. So it's fourheroescharity.org. And there is a link under support that links to PayPal, but there's also information down below with direct addresses, the PO box, if people want to mail checks, if they're more comfortable that way. Some people don't use the online technologies, and that's quite all right. We're positioned to accept donations of all kinds. They also can use Venmo. It's Charity for Heroes with the number four, if they want to send it in that means as well. So we've kind of tried to diversify ourselves in the way and with the means that people are using of today. So if there's a need, we'll do it.
And whatever they give is a tax deductible donation. I think it's important to say, because some people say they have charities, but they're not recognized by the IRS. So, you know, definitely.
That is.
Yeah.
I can send paperwork. I can post paperwork. It's all verifiable. The FEIN is 4713568 14. It is absolutely searchable, verifiable. It's 100% legitimate, and all donations are deductions on their tax returns. And we will even provide receipts for donations.
Now, if somebody's on Facebook, you have a Facebook presence too. They say, "Oh, you know what? I'm on Facebook. I'm cruising around. It's the holidays. Let me check out these four heroes.
We
charity.
Do.
Yeah,
Four Heroes Charity Inc. is what it's under. There's a group and a page. Currently, we are running a online raffle, which is kind of an ongoing thing. It's called Chance It for Heroes. It's the number four again, Chance It for Heroes. It's a group, and we are intermittently running about once or twice a week different products and, you know, offering a raffle chances to win that prize. We 100% in, 100% out. You know, the item ships right to the person, and any proceeds that are received from that goes directly to the Four Heroes to meet, the requests and needs that we have. So it's like $7.50, you know, we try to keep everything under $10 per item. And, yeah. you know, say like 60 slots for an item. We try to keep it very reasonable. We're not gouging anybody. We're not killing anybody. And they're getting items that are, you know, worth hundreds of dollars. Some, you know, Yetis and Apple and things like that, that are hot numbers that, to be honest, are a lot more affordable if you can win. And, you know, on the chance that you're spending $6 or $18 sometimes to win those things, you know, it's been great fun for a lot of people is what we've got the feedback.
Oh,
we
that's
go
great.
Live, and, you know, everything's up and up. We go live, they can see the raffle, they can see the shuffle, everything's randomized. So we really are trying, you know, we keep up with the times and try to do what we can in order to raise funds.
That's all good stuff. I appreciate it. Hey, Les, you got anything else to finish with? Anything you want to say that you feel that's left on the table?
No, Mike, I think I want to thank you for your continued support, but more importantly, your friendship. I wish you and your listeners a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thanks,
man. Your family, and hopefully we can do some great things with the support of your listeners.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I think these guys are, like, really smart. It's not like the social media crowd. A lot of these folks who gravitate toward political talk and political, you know, animals and things like that, they're just hardcore. These guys are really bright, and I appreciate them every day. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to kick some of the money that we get paid to you on behalf of them. And then if they want to supplement that, hey, God bless them. But we'll put their money on the street, literally put it on the street and put it to work, because we've had a good year, and I wouldn't be doing this, to be honest with you, if people didn't contribute a year ago. I'd probably still be sitting around saying, hey, you know what? I think I could probably be pretty good at podcasting. And so everybody needs help every now and then. And, you know, from what we talked about, bro, there's more people that are going to need help, because we all know that this is not the best time in our country's history. And we're going to need folks like you to try to fill in the gaps as best as you can. And the people behind you are going to have to make that possible. We're going to have to try to expand that base that kicks into you guys, so you can put the money on the street and put it to work, you know?
Well, we hope to be setting a good example for the people coming behind us and even the ones that are current. You know, we hope that we set an example for what people could and will do. And, you know, we show other people's generosity and, you know, what we've been able to accomplish with their generosity. And we hope it, you know, we hope it catches. And like you said about paying it forward, you know, we always say others before ourselves. And that's what, you know, life is meant to give back. We are all one big community. We need to help each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I couldn't have said it any better, Deneen. I couldn't have said it any better. I can't believe it. You're like grown up now, and you're doing great things, and it makes me feel old just now. Seeing you when you were younger and stuff, and now you're out rocking and rolling and helping people. It's it really is a great thing to see how you guys have grown up and what you're doing. It's special in itself. But you know, and credit to your parents and your dad. I won't give him a lot of credit because
wonderful, and I thank him for everything he does.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
He's a mind behind everything, but he is, you know, really helpful day in and day out and making everything come to life. Well, you know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do half of what we've done, and I lean on him so much.
Well, he helped. You know, you're not familiar probably with a lot of stuff that he did, but I mean, we were doing stuff back in 9/11 and at Ground Zero and stuff all the way back. And he's done a lot, and he always comes through for people that need his help in intel and other stuff. And he's a talented investigator, and he had a hell of a career. So I'm glad that he's doing this now, because he's a good shepherd, man. He's a good shepherd. He's a good leader. And it's
good to watch.
What'd you say, Deneen? I'm sorry.
Sorry, we are all the better to have known him,
yeah,
and be part of his life and his outreach.
It's good, and he knows a lot of people. That helps too. You know, right, Les? That's a testament, right? Never burn a bridge.
Never burn a bridge, buddy.
Right. Never burn a bridge, especially in Intel. Always stay loyal. Never burn a bridge. Even in rough times and when things don't go your way, you keep your head on a swivel and always stay loyal. There's something to be said about it. You're old school, bro. You're old school.
Well, I'm big into loyalty. Yeah. I'm real big into loyalty.
That's what I mean by old school. That's
true, and that's the reasons why we've been friends for all these decades.
Well, yeah, thick and thin. We've had differences and stuff like that. I mean, hell, when you work at Intel, man, half the time things end up coming to blows, you know, because you're so emotionally charged and invested in these assignments and things like that. But when I say old school, I mean loyalty. It's like it's definitely a dying art form, and it's sad in itself, but you know, you're able to take that now and convert it into charity, and that's something special in itself. But I appreciate you guys spending the time with us, and we'll have this out the day before Thanksgiving. That's tomorrow, and we'll see what happens, and we'll continue to stay in touch with you from time to time, and see what we can do together. You know, maybe we can. As we grow, we can do bigger things for you. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, you know?
So are we, Mike.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. So.
All right, thank you for having us. Again, I can't reiterate. I hope you, Deb, and the kids have a great Thanksgiving and all your listeners.
Well, I appreciate it. And we'll see. I'll probably catch up with you tomorrow. I'll be up over across the bridge tomorrow, and I'll probably catch up with you. And we'll go from there. You know, hopefully we don't end up wrestling each other or something like that. Never can tell what's going to happen. But I appreciate it, bro. And the same to Deneen, and wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. And thanks for everything you're doing to help other people. It's a big deal to me. And I think it's a big deal to the people who are listening.
Well, I appreciate them listening and just taking the time to hear us out.
Good stuff. All right, I'll talk to you guys. Take care. God bless.
Yeah.
While we debated it here, I appreciate those guys coming on here and telling you what they do and telling you their story. While we debated it here on what to do for Thanksgiving, do we just do another news show? And there's a lot of news, okay, to tackle as usual. Or do we try a departure, something different for the holidays to bring the focus back on the holidays? The entire apparatus of different state governments and even the federal government and the media are trying to get us away from the Judeo-Christian mores and values of the holidays. Maybe we can do something to bring it back in a very small way, and also through some charity to pay things forward. Maybe we could do something different. So I'm actually glad that we decided to do it, because I think it came out way, way, way better than I ever expected it. And we appreciate your support on those platforms that help make it possible for us to contribute a dime, let alone what we gave, patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And the folks out there who are listening on the regular podcast, and share this with your friends, and maybe we can get the maybe we can help other people make it through December and beyond through folks who are out there doing fantastic charitable work, and not just, you know, you think about the Clinton Foundation and other places like this. It's like, Jesus, there are people are legitimate who give a shit about people. And we have to get back to that. So if people are listening on the podcast and also are subscribers, share this with people. If you want to pitch in, hey, pitch in, man. Give them money instead of us. Whatever you want to do, you know, it's going to help people. I have to tell you, we have to get back to basics. We have to start giving a shit about our neighbors and each other. It goes a long way. And also be thankful for the things that you have instead of always bitching about things. I bitch a lot too. I bitch for a living now. I'm the biggest complainer on here. I understand that. And I hope to you and to yours, you have an incredible Thanksgiving. And hang in there. And as I say at the end of every show, take care and God bless you.
Ooh.